Let us note carefully God's truth as we read together. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly or in an unbecoming way, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Amen. We end our reading in the midst of the chapter. It is here in verse 7 that we're going to meditate on the first three words. Beareth all things. This charity, this godly love, this Christian love, beareth all things. Why does the Lord let so many of His choice saints suffer? Have you ever thought about that? Why does the Lord let so many of His people suffer so many things? It is obviously for His glory, and it is also for the good of His people. This must be kept well in mind because we live in a world filled with suffering, filled with difficulties of any and every sort. And suffering cannot be avoided completely. Some suffering we can avoid just by right living and good planning, but we can't avoid all suffering. George Matheson was born in Glasgow, Scotland in 1842. Before he was very old, the doctors discovered that he had a rare disease that would cause him to be completely blind while he was still a young man. Despite this fact, George was a very serious and zealous student. He was very conscious that God had a calling on his life, that he would end up being a minister of the gospel. And after preparatory school, he attended the university and he graduated with honors at the age of 19. It was while George was a student in the university that he received a stunning blow. He had fallen in love with a young lady who was also a student, and they planned to be married. But George knew that he had to tell her the awful fact that before long he would be totally blind. Would she still marry him? Was the question looming in his mind. Well, the day came that he told her, and her answer was an awful, grievous shock to his life. She bluntly said, "I do not want to be the wife of a blind man." That ended the relationship. George went on to serve the Lord and to preach so powerfully in Scotland and also in England that the Queen, Queen Victoria, was thrilled at the tremendous preaching of this servant of God. But years after he had been broken, heartbroken, on the eve of his sister's wedding, The memory of his awful hurt came back to him with fresh pain. And as he sat there thinking about it, he wrote his famous hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." It was the terrible suffering that gave birth to that heart-stirring hymn. Truly, the Lord does use suffering in believers to promote His own glory and to advance the good of His people individually and collectively as all His ransomed people. Our text for this morning, charity or Christian love beareth all things. What an awful thing George Matheson had to bear. And this text, charity beareth all things, simply means that Christian love enables us to endure suffering in the pathway of duty. As we go along life's pathway, endeavoring to do our duty, then we're going to be met many times with suffering. So I want us to think, first of all, that it should be obvious to us that one of the great reasons that suffering is in the world, one of the great reasons that suffering is in the world, is to distinguish between those who are really Christians and those who are not. Well, it's not sunshine, it's suffering that reveals who the real Christians are. When persecution comes to a land, any time in the history of God's people, persecution draws a very clear line of demarcation between the truly godly and those who are mere professors of the Christian faith. Pain and persecution separate the true from the false. So one of the great reasons that suffering is in the world is to draw this line. Hypocrites are very much for show in religion, for words that cost them very little or nothing, for actions that involve no great difficulty or pain. Like the Jewish Pharisees, modern day religious pretenders are selfish and are unwilling to meet with suffering in their persons or in their property. In fact, so much of modern hypocrisy is built around this cultic idea that the Christian faith is meant for prosperity and for perfect health. But true believers are those who are willing to follow Christ and to bear the cross of pain and trouble. Jesus said in Luke 14:27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Wow. With the modern notions of so many different kinds of Christianity, it is really, in a sense, a return to the old medieval ideas of popery, that you not only have heaven and hell, but you have a place in between. But Jesus makes it very clear that those who are not true believers, who will not bear the cross and come after Him, Jesus said, and we believe that His words are authoritative, He said, "You cannot be my disciple if you're unwilling to bear the cross." So that hymn we're singing is not unscriptural. We're going to see some more scriptures along this same line. Christians are willing to suffer the loss of their good name for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul said, "I take pleasure in reproaches for Christ's sake." In Matthew 10:22, Jesus told His followers, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Christians are willing to lose their good name. They're also willing to lose their lives and their property for Christ's sake. Hebrews 11:35. Tells us of the saints of old. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Matthew 10:39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What does that mean? That means where there is an unwillingness to suffer and even to suffer the loss of life for Christ's sake, then that life which may be preserved is really lost. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And even those who were willing to lose themselves in loving Christ and following Him truly find out what it really is to live and to enjoy the Lord and to enjoy life. Since Christians are willing to suffer and bear the greatest losses for Christ, they are surely willing to suffer and bear the lesser things for Christ. Have you ever thought about that? If you're willing to suffer the loss of your reputation, if you're willing to suffer the loss of your life, of your possessions for Jesus, is it then a terribly hard thing to bear inconveniences, to bear discomfort, fatigue, hardship, and even the loss of ease for Jesus' sake? It is the Spirit of God who teaches us the divine logic that God Himself argues from the greater to the lesser. So if we are willing to follow Christ, even to the loss of life, reputation, and property, it should be no terribly difficult thing for us to suffer and bear with the little ordinary inconveniences of life, the loss of our ease and our discomfort, having discomforts and fatigue and hardship. We should be able to endure that. Because Christ said, if we do not take up our cross and follow Him, we can't be His disciples. You remember how the Spirit of God argues from the greater to the lesser. Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. See the greatest thing God's done? Since He's done that, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? It is God's way, and we must follow His way. True Christians are not only willing to bear all kinds of suffering for Christ, but also the worst degrees of suffering. Christians are willing not only to have trials of mockings, but trials of cruel mockings. Hebrews 11:36, to not only suffer loss, but as Paul said in Philippians 3:8, to suffer the loss of all things. Wow, that's the Christian spirit that beareth all things. Not only to die for Christ, but to be stoned, to be sawn asunder, to be slain with a sword, to wander about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted and tormented. Hebrews 11:37. These are God's people. If we are not willing to follow Christ fully, then what are we saying? Are we not betraying the fact that we are doing just like Ananias and Sapphira? Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be thought of as those who gave all for Christ. And yet, they were actually reserving something secretly for themselves. And are there not many who profess to be Christians who want to be thought of as those who give all for Christ while they are actually reserving some rights secretly for themselves? Real Christians have such a fear of God, His displeasure looms worse to them than even death or suffering. Isaiah 8:13, we are commanded to sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Well, that's in the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Jesus speaking of Himself in this verse at one point. He says, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have done no more than they... No more, and have no more that they can do. Don't fear those who can just kill the body and have no more they can do to you. Jesus says, I forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Jesus said, we should have such a reverence and such a dread of him that we would not offend him. True Christians see that God is able not only to deal in a mighty way, but God is able to more than compensate for anything that we have to bear for Him in this life. God is able to more than compensate for all our sufferings and our trials here, so that our heaviest storms, our heaviest sorrows and trials are but light afflictions and but for a moment. And they work for us an exceeding, an eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Like Moses, Christians are willing to bear affliction, to suffer with the people of God by faith. Why? Because for greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Hebrews 11:26. If we're not willing to face difficulties in following Christ, we shall be ashamed someday, even the last day. Remember the words of Jesus. Jesus did not play at this matter of faith. Jesus was very serious. Jesus said in Luke 14:28-30, He says, which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I can never forget it. I can't take it out of my mind. The kudzu has been there for years. Between here and our house, a large home was begun many years ago, with a good foundation, obviously, because the walls are still standing. Beautiful walls of very durable materials put upon that foundation. But the house has never been finished. 40 or 50 years ago, somebody started that house and never finished it. And what a shame. I don't know why. If somebody died in the process, and if they were thus unable to finish it, somebody got hurt. I don't know what happened. My mother has some relatives that live near there, but I don't know what happened with that house. But Jesus said, you must count the cost if you're going to be my disciple. Wow. That's amazing. All right. For he that does not receive Christ with his cross, as well as his crown, does not truly receive him at all. Unless a man is willing to deny himself, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said on another occasion, Matthew 16:24-25, those who truly follow Christ are those who are willing to follow him in all things. For all those who eventually arrive in glory, we read about in Revelation 14:4, these are those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. But you know, a scribe came up to Jesus one day and he said those very words. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, this scribe said to Jesus, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. What did Jesus say to him then? Jesus told him the truth, what it was going to be like. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And we don't read that the scribe went on to follow him then. The comforts were not promised. But suffering was promised. A Christian must go on bearing the burdens of living life in a fallen world that is imperfect. The child of God will certainly be longing for heaven and for perfection, and yet we realize that we're not there yet. So we must gird up the loins of our minds and endure the trial of our faith. Peter says both these things in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verses 7 and verse 13. If we truly know the reality of Christ's love and we love Him, then we see that all these truths apply to us. They do. I want us to look at how these truths apply to us. I started by saying that one of the greatest benefits of suffering in this world today is that suffering serves to distinguish between those who are genuine Christians and those who are not. So many of the scripture passages that I've quoted prove that God uses suffering in this world to show the difference in the true and the false professors of faith in Christ. So you must examine your own heart and your own life, not only before you come to a communion service, but also regularly under the preaching of God's truth to get an accurate assessment of your condition and your state before God. I ask you then, are you willing to renounce your comfort and ease rather than to forsake Christ? Are you willing to experience loss in your heart, in your business, in your estate, and even in your health, rather than to forsake Christ? Before we die, before we leave this world, we don't know what we're going to face. We don't know. We may experience persecutions like we read of in the Scriptures that God's people have had to bear. If you do not have the spirit of Christian love that is willing to bear all things for Christ, how will you do when outright persecution comes? If you cannot bear the lesser and normal trials of just living the Christian life from day to day, how will you bear the trial if God exposes you to extreme persecution? If you cannot bear the trials in little things, how can you expect to have that Christian love that beareth all things? Jeremiah 12:5 certainly applies here to us. Listen carefully to God's Word. Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? If we cannot bear the trials of Christian living in the land of peace, how will we ever faithfully follow the Lord in times of persecution? Christ has taught us by word and by His holy example the true happiness of suffering in His righteous cause. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 21, "Blessed are ye who hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye who weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven." Do you know anything of that? Now, I'm not overcome with a persecution complex, but I see in my life that I need more of that. I hear the guys sometimes snicker at work, you know, and I'm excluded from their whatever they're doing. And I'm thankful for that. But oh, that there would be even more of that. That they might not feel comfortable at all in their wickedness around me. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, 1 Peter 3:14. Christ has promised great rewards to those who are willing to bear all things for His sake. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Paul, not only did James write it, Paul wrote it, and Jesus said it. Paul wrote to Timothy, and again in Romans, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Is that just a little tag on? Or did he mean it? Did he mean that it had real substance and meaning? That, you don't really have to suffer, but you'll still reign with him. That negates what the Savior said. Jesus said to Timothy, and again in Romans, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him and be glorified together with him. What does Jesus mean as he speaks to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3? He says to him that overcometh, he makes the promise in chapter 2 and verse 7. Him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Again in verse 11, he says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Again in verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. In chapter 3, verse 5, again he's saying to the New Testament churches, he says, he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Again, in verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And again, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Think of Jesus. Think of all that he has borne for us. Everything that Jesus Christ has borne and suffered, it was charity, bearing all things in his life, in his ministry, in his suffering, in his atoning, in his bleeding, in his dying, in his being buried and rising for us. He was doing it all for love's sake. And what a glorious host is listed in Hebrews 11, who bore all things for Christ. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with that great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us remember him, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. Remember Jesus, all that he has said. Remember the faithful word given us by the Spirit. If we're going to be his disciples, this Christian love that he bestows is that which beareth all things. Let us pray together. O Lord, we confess that here is a very searching word for all our hearts. And Lord, we do not find such messages comfortable. And Lord, we do not believe that Thou hast even given these words to make us comfortable. Lord, we praise Thee for all the comfort that Thou dost give us in the Scriptures. Lord, we confess that we cannot find comfort in sin, nor in slothfulness. We pray that Thou wilt teach us Thy way, simply to live loving Thee, gratefully for all that Christ has done to give us a free salvation. Lord, teach us that we are now as Christians to obey Thee, to follow Thee, and even to be willing to bear all things for Christ's sake. Amen.